invite you with the chime to prepare yourself to receive the prelude.
Just look at all the hungry mouths there are to feed. Take a look at all the suffering we breed. So many lonely faces scattered all around, searching for what they need. Is this the world we created? What did we do it for? The world we devastated. Against the law, so it seems, in the end. Is this what we're all looking for today? This world that we created. You know that every day a helpless child is born, who just needs loving care inside a happy home. And somewhere wealthy men are sitting on their thrones, waiting the world go by. Is this the world we created? We made it all our own, a world we devastated right to the bone. If there's a God in the sky looking down, what can she think of what we've done to the world that she created? Holy children, holy game, holy believers out in the rain. Holy dancers circle around, holy arrow on holy ground. Holiness happens when you least expect, nothing happens too soon. Holiness happens when you connect by the light of a rising moon. Holy hour, holy day, holy cow, I am amazed. Holy companions out on the run, holy Savior, the Holy One. Holiness happens when you least expect, nothing happens too soon. Holiness happens when you connect by the light of a rising moon. Holy city, holy war, holy waste, trying to settle scores. Holy water, holy dove, holy commandment, holy love. There's holiness happens when you least expect, nothing happens too soon. Holiness happens when you connect by light of a rising moon, light of a rising moon.
Let us follow the star to meet the God who judges with righteousness and brings justice to the poor. The Holy One delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. The Lord has pity on those who are weak and in need. Their blood is precious in God's sight. From oppression and violence, the Lord redeems their life, crushing the oppressor. May we learn from God to defend the cause of the poor among us and deliver the vulnerable. May we be like rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water the earth. May righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. Good morning, and welcome to worship at University Mennonite. Today we celebrate Epiphany, remembering a long-ago encounter with Jesus. Through the bread and cup of communion, we will ourselves encounter Jesus as the church has done for millennia. And as we end this Advent season of hope, peace, joy, and love, let us gather the light we have shared with each other and prepare ourselves to reflect it into the world in 2019.
Please stand and turn to your purple books. Sing the story, number 30. Arise, your light has come. Children?
I'd like to invite the children to come forward.
We're going to meet right here, you guys. Let's see who else comes up. Good morning, Noah. Oh, whoops. I'm actually got a mic on, Hal, so I'm good. Because I'm going to stand up.
Would you like to?
Maybe I need to. Good morning, you guys. Nice to see you. Who said good morning? Was that Ben? I'm going to try it again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. I'm starting with a candle, aren't I? Yeah. I like candles, too. It looks like it makes you happy, Jonas. Nice. Well, I wanted to start this morning. Today is the last Sunday that we're going to have all of this stuff up front. And do you remember when we started it? When did we start this? Lily? about 6 weeks ago, the very beginning of December. Feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? And we lit different candles every week. Here, you guys, come stand up here with me. Let's talk about this. So the first week we lit a candle, and do you remember? We had a word that went with it. Hope, that's right. Our first candle that we lit back in early December was for hope. How about the second one? The second one, we talked about peace, about God's peace. How about, here, let me step over here, Ben, okay? How about the third one?
Joy.
We talked about joy, didn't we? And what was the fourth one?
Love.
So we had those 4 weeks of Advent, those 4 weeks of preparing. And what were we preparing for? Yeah, we were preparing for the birth of Jesus, weren't we? And on Christmas Eve, for those of you that were here, we lit this candle. And do you know what it's called? We sometimes call that the Christ candle. Because one of the things, when Jesus was here, he talked about being the light of the world. And so we celebrate the light. So today, with Epiphany, we bring this season to a close. We celebrate the end of our Christmas season. And we're going to have a story read a little bit later about these wise ones who come bearing gifts. They come bearing gifts. I want to come and look at this table up here too. What is this table about? Communion, grapes. Yeah, we have grapes. What else do we have on this table?
Bread.
We have bread. And what else?
Juice.
We have juice. Yep. So we have the cup and we have bread. Yep. We're going to celebrate communion. Okay, let's come back over here and sit down for a sec. Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? So we have that table that is filled with what we sometimes call gifts, that we celebrate communion as a gift, where we receive. And part of that celebration that we have today is just like the wise ones when they came, that story that I want you guys to listen to in a couple minutes, they come bearing gifts to this baby. This baby Jesus who was born. And whenever we celebrate communion, we celebrate this gift of love. That when Jesus was among us, was among his friends, he said to them, "You're my friends, and I want you to remember that God is love, that God loves you, and every time you eat this bread, you share in that love. That you belong to me." That's what Jesus was saying to them. You belong to me no matter what. And I'd say that's quite a gift. Quite a gift. So I want you guys to think about that as we receive, as you come up and maybe get a grape a little bit later during communion. That we're given the gift of being told that I love you and you matter. I think that's a pretty special gift. So can we have a prayer together? Let's take a moment and pray. Oh God, we say thank you for the gifts you give us, the gift of bread, of juice, of grapes, the gift of this season where we remember hope and peace and joy and love. May we carry these gifts in our hearts and share them with each other. Bless each of us here today. Amen. Thanks for coming up, you guys.
Star. The Old Testament reading can be found in the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
The gospel reading is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Good morning. Let's begin with a prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. And perhaps starting with a full breath, a gift of spirit to guide us this morning. Well, we bring this season to an end, and end with this familiar story of the wise ones coming. And as I have studied this story, I've really been struck about these gospel writers of ours. And I've really come to believe more and more that they really had quite a sense of humor, that they put in these little tricks and these little pieces that might have really caught the attention of the early readers and listeners. Because today's reading, which comes in the second chapter, was right after that quietly revolutionary genealogy in Matthew, where four women are slipped in there and listed as part of the lineage of Christ. And then that's followed by only seven verses introducing the miraculous conception and birth of Jesus. And then, right away in this story today, we have these strangers from some far-off land showing up in Jerusalem looking for the future king of the Jews. These strangers, we're told, they know something that none of the rich or powerful in Israel know. We have foreigners, unclean Gentiles, leading the way right from the beginning of this gospel. And in the Gospel of Luke, if you remember, it's shepherds, those dirty, untrustworthy guys who spend their days and nights
out in the field tending animals. It's the shepherds who have a host of angels proclaiming the birth of the Savior. In some ways, it just doesn't make sense. And right from the start in these Gospels, we're clued in that this new life, this good news, is coming to the poor and the marginalized, the outsiders, maybe even the foreigners. The writer of Matthew has wise men from the East. The East being a metaphorical place in literature of new beginnings, a place where the sun rises each day. These wise men from the East come inquiring about this baby king they are seeking. And Herod, the current king, and all Jerusalem with him, we're told they're frightened. Instead of catching the wonder and the enthusiasm of these seekers, Herod is frightened. In Greek, that word is tarasso, frightened or anxious. But really, literally, it means to be stirred up. Tarasso means to be set in motion what is really supposed to remain still and at ease. Tarasso means to agitate, to cause inner perplexity. Do you know that feeling of tarasso? I do. I know it quite a bit. I was thinking back in preparing of a while ago, one of my sons sent me this cryptic text message that said, "We need to talk. Can we set a time to talk?" And like, I just found my whole self like tense up and feel stirred up inside. Do you know it? I see some heads nodding. Like, I think we all know what tarasso means, to be stirred up. Well, unfortunately, Herod's response to that being stirred up and agitated, it was pretty catastrophic. Because later in the gospel, we hear about his command that all boys under the age of 2 be murdered. That same verb, tarasso, is used later in Matthew's gospel in the story where Jesus comes walking across the Sea of Galilee at night when his disciples were in the boat. And upon seeing him, the disciples are tarasso, are terrified. Literally, they're all stirred up. They're agitated when they should be at ease. And in that passage, in Matthew 14, Jesus responds, "Be courageous. It is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus tells them, "Tharseo, be strong within yourselves. Don't be stirred up. Don't let tarasso overwhelm you. No, Tharseo, have inner courage. I am here with you. Be at ease." Well, Herod definitely did not sense the presence of the divine with him when the wise ones came asking about the child who was born king of the Jews. Did you hear that wording right there? It says in the gospel, they came asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" Right from his birth, this child is king. He's got authority, power. I can see why Herod might have been so anxious. We're told Herod was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And what does this frightened Herod do? Does he join the wise men in their quest? No. For Herod, we don't hear about curiosity or interest in following the star and seeking this new life. Instead, Herod stays put. He stays in his seat of power, allowing his fears to drive him to seek death, not life. But these wise ones, we're told, they continue on, curious, following the star, continuing their long journey to find this new source of life. And like the shepherds, I'm guessing these are people who most likely know what it is to be stirred up, to live with change, to have to face that change and face the fear that comes with it. And so these wise men, these wise ones, they act out of curiosity and they're transformed by it. We're told that when the star stops, the wise ones are overwhelmed with joy. Joy. We talked about that during Advent. It's the same word here, Cairo. Even before they went in and found the child, when the star stopped, they were filled with joy. And if you remember during Advent when we talked about that word, it literally means to experience God's grace. This rejoicing that the wise ones did upon arriving, even before setting eyes on the king they have been seeking. They've been aware of God's grace. They stopped and rejoiced and noticed God at work among them. Like I said, tricksters, here in the beginning of his gospel, Matthew has Gentiles, foreigners, experiencing this Cairo, this joy of awareness of God's grace. And they fall on their knees with joy. Well, do you know who else I've discovered lately has quite a sense of humor? It's Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who was the head of the Anglican Church of South Africa and one of the primary leaders in the apartheid movement. He's now in his mid-80s. And when he was asked not long ago what guided him in the dark and stressful moments when his life was being threatened, he said, "Well, I didn't do silly things like stand in front of a lit window at night. But I also said to God, if I'm doing your work, you better jolly well protect me." Getting up between 4 and 5 o'clock every morning to pray, and to pray some more, sometimes 3 hours or more a day, that's been his discipline for decades. And he prays for everyone, for his family, for his country. He prays for those that others might consider his enemies. He prays trusting that God was using him as an instrument for change. That's been Desmond Tutu's guiding star for his entire ministry, trusting that God is using him for change. And that guiding star kept him focused on his work for justice, shining in those dark times, guiding him when the way forward seemed hopeless. And so I wonder today, what star, what light guides you, guides us? What guiding star are you following? What light leads you onward and forward? The wise ones, the foreigners, the outsiders we read about today, they set out on a journey following the star that would lead them to the one who was called King of the Jews. They left everything behind, seeking the light, and when they found it, they were filled with joy. They found this child sitting in a house, sitting on his mother's lap. And these men, these magi who had traveled great distances, they humbly fell on their knees and paid homage and worshiped the child. They paid homage with joy in their hearts, bearing costly gifts. That star led them to finding this source of new life, the Christ child. In contrast, we have Herod, What was King Herod's guiding star? King Herod and all of Jerusalem with him. They were frightened, we were told. None of them went seeking or following that star. They remained stirred up and agitated, not seeking the one who would tell them, "Tharseo, have courage. I am with you. Be at ease." When you're seeking, what light guides your way? Well, our story doesn't end here. The wise ones keep seeking, and when they saw the child, they opened those treasure chests, offering gold, frankincense, and myrrh, their own particular unique gifts. I've been thinking about gifts in this Christmas season, and also been reading about the refugees in El Paso, Texas. How in the days surrounding Christmas, nearly 2,000 men, women, and children were released from ICE detention centers onto the streets of that particular city. And there's one shelter there in particular, Annunciation House, that has been overwhelmed by the influx of people needing shelter, needing literally to get hotel rooms to put them up in. But I've not only heard about the influx of refugees needing places to live and support, but also about the outpouring of love from the community in both support and supplies, from warm coats to diapers, those gifts that have been laid at the feet of those in need. And people arriving in El Paso for the college football Sun Bowl last week, some of them brought gifts along too. Blankets, new clothes, money for bus tickets, money for shelter. They arrived from the east and the west, the north and the south, and shared their gifts with strangers. Annunciation House, that place of refuge, became so overwhelmed with donations that they asked people to call before they brought them. Some have stayed to help cook food for these strangers, others to give rides. Gifts have come in all sorts of ways. What gifts do we bring to the lowly one, to the stranger in our midst this season? What gifts do we bring to share with this source of new life born among us? Big questions for us to ponder as we enter this new year. What is our guiding star? And what gifts do we bring? They may be gifts of time. They may be gifts simply of showing attention or opening our table. What gifts do we bring? And we move now into this time of communion. This gift that we are given of sharing. Because that's literally what communion means. All communion means is to share, the sharing of this bread and this cup. That we are asked to receive the gift of bread and wine, an invitation to new life. And so no matter who you are, whether you come from east or west, north or south, you're invited to this meal today, to this receiving of bread and cup. Because Jesus never turned anyone away. Isn't that amazing? When there were 5,000 hungry people sitting in front of him, he didn't turn anyone away. When he was around the table with those he called his friends,
those he knew would betray him. He didn't turn anyone away. He said, "You are welcome. You are welcome here." And so we gather. We gather around bread and cup. We gather sometimes as ones who are broken. And yet, we receive. But communion isn't just about gathering and receiving. It's really a nourishing us so that we can go forward. We can go forth into the community and be ones to share God's love with others. That this communion is both a receiving to be nourished so that we can go forth and spread this amazing love. But just as those who were gathered with Jesus that last night were broken people in need of forgiveness, so we too come with frailties and brokenness, places in our lives where we don't always live up to the people we hope to be. And so before we receive communion, I invite you to pray this communion confession with me. It's found printed as an insert in your bulletin. And before we read, again, maybe just taking a moment, taking a few breaths, and considering those places of brokenness in our own lives. Those places of falling short in our own personal journeys. So join me in this communion confession. Lord, we heard that you were hungry and we did not share our food. Lord, we heard that you were thirsty, and we kept our drink to ourselves. Lord, we saw you as a stranger, and we closed our door and our heart. Lord, we saw that you were naked, and we fussed about our own clothes. Lord, we learned that you were sick and we avoided you. Lord, we heard that you were in prison and we pretended you were not our neighbor. Lord, you came to us again and again and we were wrapped up in ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive. I invite the communion servers to come forward at this time. And so we gather again to remember and to share in this feast that happened when Jesus met with his disciples and after the meal picked up a loaf of bread and breaking it, he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And again, after the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This too, this blood is poured out for you, a gift for you. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." And so today we gather. We gather drinking and eating, sharing, sharing, receiving this communion, that it may nourish us, that it may remind us that in the midst of our brokenness, we are known and loved. And that in this nourishing act, we may go forward as redeemed people to love and serve. Come, the table is ready. And so we end this receiving of the gifts with thanks. Let us join in prayer. O Christ, you who bring gifts to us of bread and wine, of grapes, of sharing with each other, bless us that we may go forth as redeemed people doing your work of love and justice in this world. Amen.
I invite the ushers to come forward to take the offering, and Josh and Sarah to come forward for our offertory. You are the source of our air, our earth. You placed our planet in the heavens. What we can give back to you is so small in comparison, yet we ask that you use it to do the work of spreading your love, hope, peace, joy, and light in this world. Amen. We'd like to welcome any visitors we have with us today. If you will stand and introduce yourselves using the microphone, or the people who are hosting you can stand and introduce you. Do we have anyone on this side?
We're happy to have our daughter home for a few days, making a surprise trip from India. Masi's here. She has, she says she doesn't want to hug anyone today because she has upper respiratory issues, but we're glad she's here.
And those of you who are interested in theater, you may want to experiment by going to the high school this afternoon. I don't remember the rest of the story, but
I wasn't going to say anything. They're piloting a show for kids, teenagers, that Marvel, Disney and Marvel are developing some shorts, plays.
I don't have much of a voice, but I'll just say really quickly, I've been fortunate to be asked to write a short play about a Marvel superhero, and the high school is piloting one of the versions. It's at 2 o'clock today. They're doing a great job. I have to make some revisions, but if anyone's interested to see it, that's what's happening. Thank you. It's $5.
I like these introductions and announcements that take a whole family. My daughter Ella has been here before, but she's with us again, and it's been a real joy to have her. So please welcome her.
We're happy to have Ben's parents, Bob and Cheryl, here with us for the weekend from Ontario.
Hi, I'm Caroline Brock, and I have my husband, Brett Myers, here today. He's been the interim pastor for Faith UCC for the last 22 months, and I've been here kind of off and on. And just prayers for him as he continues searching near and far for another position. Thank you.
Welcome to everyone this morning. Do we have any announcements that aren't in the bulletin?
There is one announcement in the bulletin. There are sound system volunteers, so if you're interested in looking into that opportunity, come see me. Thanks.
I just want to make an announcement about a special event that's coming up in Foxdale. As some of you might know, we have an art gallery up on the second floor of the community building where each month or every 2 months a different exhibition is held from people inside Foxdale and most of them from outside Foxdale. But next Sunday there'll be a special exhibit opening which is called Two Daughters, Two Mothers, Two Daughters. And one of the set of mother-daughter is Y. McLean and her daughter, Marcia Hack, who is Roger's twin sister. And they'll be part of the exhibit. The reception is going to be held next Sunday afternoon, and I'll send out the time. But it would be nice if some people came and look at their beautiful work.
I also wanted to let you all know that Sunday school today, we are going to have a conversation around communion. Leland will be leading as one of our elders. We're going to start a several series discussion about what communion is and what it means to us. So we're going to just share stories today about our own personal journeys with communion. So please, after you grab a cup of coffee, come and join us during the Sunday school hour.
I want to remind the gentlemen in the church that we have a breakfast twice a month. Unfortunately, or fortunately, this month, January, I can only attend one of them, and that's on Tuesday. So those of you who want to meet me, I encouraged to attend, and you made me lose my thoughts. It's at 7 o'clock, Foxdale, and one of the functions for this Tuesday is our brother Rosenberger will be telling some of his jokes, so be sure to attend. If you haven't come before, you are guaranteed of a free breakfast. A few of us are independently wealthy. Thank you very much.
On the subject of money, and to reinforce what Ben said about thanking this congregation, tax acknowledgments of your gifts to the congregation and the Third Way Collective should be in your mailbox, and those who don't have a mailbox will have it sent in the mail. But if there are any corrections, let me know. But thank you for the many gifts that you give to the congregation.
I'm Kathleen Stehauer. It's Rick's birthday on Tuesday, so Oseo, if you'd like to sing happy birthday to him and buy him breakfast on Tuesday, that would be great.
Do we have any other birthdays coming up?
I think there's an announcement in the back, though. I don't want to.
I think we should sing, though.
Yeah, we should. All right, I thought there was someone in the back, but if not, go now, following the light and being the light to all the world, living with kindness and justice, and spreading the love and peace of Christ to all you meet. Go in peace.
Please turn in your purple books to number 57, Go, My Friends in Grace. Please note that there is a fourth ending that's different from all the other verses.